Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tony Katz Tonight.
It's been the talk of Hollywood. The video exposing Ed Begley Jr., Mario Hemingway, a host of so-called environmentalist actors and directors and producers, willing to take oil money to make an anti-fracking film to benefit Middle East oil barons. The man behind it all, the man behind Project Veritas, V-E-R-I-T-A-S, James O'Keefe is on the phone from Cannes. James, Cannes, that is France, by the way. Thank you so much for joining us. How have the attacks been on you today?
I relish in the attack. I love it when they attack me. It brings me joy.
Go ahead, please.
But the media is very threatened by this. They're very angry. They're very, very angry at me, and they're taking it out by doing a variety of hit jobs. But the good news is the Senate, the United States Senate Oversight, one of their committees has issued a press release saying that this investigation really showcased the fact that this money is covered up. The money from the Middle East is covered up, and nonprofits and NGOs are used as a vehicle to help cover up that source of funding. So the Senate has now issued a statement. The FBI, one of the filmmakers contacted the FBI, so there's all this chaos, and we premiered the video in Cannes, France, and it's been a very exciting week.
So just to give people an update on what this video is, you, known for doing some incredible undercover work and basically exposing Acorn, exposing so many other organizations, you went with a thesis, which is, will environmentalists, devout as they call themselves environmentalists, change their tune or take money, oil money, in order to make an anti-fracking film? So you went in to try and find out if this was possible. Take us through how that happened and what you uncovered.
So there's a guy named Mohammed bin Rashidi who posed as a Middle Eastern oil sheik and met with Ed Begley Jr. is on the board of the Academy Awards. Mario Hemingway is a famous Academy Award nominated actress, granddaughter of Ernest Hemingway, met with this guy Mohammed at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and they had this long conversation about how it's important to stop American energy independence, and they had this long conversation about how to stop that. They wanted to take $9 million from this Middle Eastern oil sheik to fund two movies, one documentary film and one narrative film that would be opposed to fracking. Now, regardless of what you think about the fracking issue, whether you like it or don't like it, it's kind of wrong to partner up with countries who want to stop America. And it's unbelievable the statements that these people made.
So you have this oil sheik posing as someone who is clearly opposed to America having energy independence. You have these Hollywood types who claim they are all about the environment. You pose this deal to them, offering them $9 million. What do they come back with? How do they respond?
They respond, money to this is a direct quote. Money to us is money. We have no moral vibration. We have no moral issue, which is ironic because, you know, are they altruistic? I mean, do they believe in what they're in the environment? I mean, taking money from massive oil corporations, it's pretty ironic. And
we have really touched
the nerve on this one because they are coming after me in a way. The ABC Good Morning America people showed up at the house of the Hollywood Reporter and attacked him for covering the expose. So it's really unbelievable.
So, yeah, I absolutely agree. We're talking with James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, V-E-R-I-T-A-S, ProjectVeritas.com. People will get on their bully pulpits and tell you how to live, but then in their private life, they're willing to take money from these people who were told are evil, just like Al Gore did when selling Al Jazeera. We've seen some of the video. All of it is up, by the way, at ProjectVeritas.com. What's coming next? I know you pretty well. We've had some conversations. We've done some things. What comes next from you? Because I won't believe that this is the end of what you have.
No, it's not. It's Memorial Day weekend, so we're not going to release anything on the weekend. But we have the Senate just launched this thing, and they're going to investigate. Hopefully, next week we have another shoe to drop. We have bigger names, much bigger names. And Josh Fox is this guy who...
Gasland and Gasland 2. We are familiar with Josh Fox and the liar that he is.
Yes. So Josh Fox issued a statement, a press release calling me a fraud, and he said he did the right thing. We'll be telling Josh Fox's story next week, along with some other names that are much bigger than Josh Fox. Now, Josh Fox
really?
Josh Fox made one statement I thought was outrageous. He attacked the Hollywood Reporter for breaking the story. He attacked them, even though, this is an event that happened and it deserves to be covered. These people often behave more like fascists than they do progressives. There's nothing progressive about attacking media outlets for talking about something that's important. And, Fox called me a climate change, climate science denier. I've never made a statement for or against climate change. I don't comment on issues like that. My only focus is exposing things for what people say. And so I'll be talking more about Josh Fox next week.
Well, I'm looking forward to that because Josh Fox's films, Gasland and Gasland 2, have been proven to be frauds by the people who gave us the movie Frack Nation, Phyllis McClear and Anne McElhenney, who must be thrilled by what you're doing now. But it's interesting that you talk about how they went after you personally and deciding you had to be immediately labeled as climate denier when you're just exposing the hypocrisy of environmentalist Hollywood.
Yeah, I don't take a. If you know me, you know that I don't take a stand on. I don't take a public stand on issues. I just make them live up to their own book of rules. I expose them for what they are. I put their own words against them. I have never, Tony, in my entire life, made a private or public statement on climate. I don't have a view on that. I only have a view that I pose the question for Americans. Is it right to cooperate with Middle Eastern oil? Is that morally okay to you? Is to cover it up? It's one thing to take the money. That's one question. The second question, is it right to cover it up with lies and lie to your audience? Say, oh, yeah, we're funded by nonprofits. We're funded by Greenpeace. We're funded by NRDC. Is that morally okay? I don't know. You answer that question. I can tell you that Josh Fox apparently doesn't think it's morally okay because he bashed Josh Tickell, and more on that later.
We talk about Fox often, and the liar that he is. I cannot wait. You have been James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, Veritas, projectveritas.com. You can donate there and help James with more of these projects. The Hollywood Reporter, Daily Caller, Hayride, American Thinker, The Kelly File, just the other night. How much more coverage are you expecting with the new videos coming?
I think we're going to get some pretty massive reactions, Tony. I mean, once you start getting some of these Hollywood people involved, this is really where the power is. The power is in Washington to some extent, but you want to talk about power. I was in Cannes, France. Talk about power and money and influence. These people control the narrative, and they as Andrew Breitbart called us, politics is downstream from culture. And that's where the fight is, and we want to take it to them. We want to go into the belly of the beast. That's where we're headed.
I think it's fantastic. I'm looking forward to what's next. When are you back in the States?
Well, actually, I just did get back last night.
Oh, okay.
I'll be back. And as I was going through JFK Customs, a number of people recognized me based on the new story. And, I get a lot of people in the airports, especially who recognize me and are really grateful for the work that Project Veritas is doing. And a lot of fans out there. We have a lot of haters in the media, but we also have a lot of fans amongst the people across the country and actually around the world.
Project Veritas, Veritas, full disclosure, I am a donor and I'm about to be a donor again. It's fantastic work, James, and I can't thank you enough, and I look forward to what comes next this week, and then we'll have you back.
Thank you so much, Tony.
You got it, my friend. James O'Keefe, ProjectVeritas.com. More ahead. This is Tony Katz Tonight.
If you need reliable, high-quality video production, look no further than PrimeImageMedia.com. PrimeImageMedia.com provides promotional videos, training videos, and conference and event coverage nationwide. Get a high-quality, consistent look to your corporate videos with the most reliable video company in the country. Visit PrimeImageMedia.com today to learn more. Mention Tony Katz and get 10% off your first production. That's PrimeImageMedia.com. PrimeImageMedia.com.
My thanks to James O'Keefe. Always good to have him on. Oh, we've talked many times on this program about Josh Fox and his movie Gasland and Gasland 2. Josh Fox, who made the claim that it's fracking that causes people in certain parts of the country to be able to light their water on fire because of methane in the water when they could do it for forever. But he didn't think that was relevant to the movie. He's a liar. He wants to come after me too? Fine by me. No issues. Lies to make money. That's what he does. I'm not okay with that. I have no problem with people making a living, but it should be with a product or service that you're not lying about in order to get people interested in it. And to immediately go after James O'Keefe, who's created these videos, these undercover videos exposing Hollywood for claiming to be environmentalists, but they're completely willing to take oil money. You're all of a sudden going to label him a climate denier. Well, that is proof positive that they think those terms are very strong and hurting somebody. Brand him immediately. But indeed, no position was taken from James, from Project Veritas, on the veracity of anthropogenic global warming. That's not even the conversation. It is exposing that these people are evil people. And it goes along with a bigger thought process regarding the children that are in charge. Josh Fox is a child. And so is Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi, just today, blamed the VA scandal where the VA hospitals, under the leader of Secretary Shinseki, under the leadership of President Obama, hospitals were creating secret waiting lists so it would look like they were seeing their patients on time. But the truth is, it was months and months, if not years, before seeing a patient. Patients died. Dozens are dead because of the corruption at the VA. And so Nancy Pelosi came out with this statement saying that the scandal is a high priority for Obama, saying he sees the ramifications of some seeds that were sown a long time ago. When you have two wars over a long period of time and many, many more, millions more veterans, she told reporters during her Thursday briefing. And so I know that he's upset about it. Maybe, she says, when we go into war, we should be thinking about its consequences and its ramifications. You would think that would be a given, but maybe it wasn't. And so we go in a war in Afghanistan, leave Afghanistan for Iraq with unfinished business in Afghanistan. 10 years later, we have all of these additional veterans in the past 5 years, 2 million more veterans needing benefits from the VA. That's a huge, huge increase. She then went on to say that Obamacare is the answer and will take care of everything. Obamacare is the thing that will save these people. The child does not take responsibility. The child looks to do two things: assess blame and deflect blame. No, that wasn't me. That was so-and-so. Wasn't me. Here's my excuse. Here's my alibi. I'm going to hold my breath. You can't say that about me. It was that guy over there. That is the act of the child. That is this administration. And all those who believe in it. Josh Fox didn't say that what Ed Begley Jr. and Mariel Hemingway did was wrong, even though that's clearly the answer. He went to attack the person who dared bring this up, dared bring this to light, because clearly that's the problem. He needs his world intact perfectly, and if anybody's going to attack that world with the truth, with decency, with facts, logic, and reason, that person needs to be attacked, needs to be vilified, needs to be brought down. So he goes into name-calling, which they call, in their world, labeling. Climate denier. By the way, any use of the word denier, and I don't know if I've been guilty of it. Denier and denial is associated with the Holocaust and Holocaust denial. And when people use it for things like climate change, it is unbelievably disgusting. Disgusting. 13 million people lost their lives in the Holocaust. Can we focus? Can we focus? And that's just the Holocaust. Never mind those who fought. Let us not insult those people with your silly claim of denier. But your children, so you don't really care about history. We take a look at Benghazi. Oh, no, it wasn't us. It was a video. Eleanor Clifton Benghazi. Oh, no. He wasn't murdered, Ambassador Stevens. Died of smoke inhalation. Always deflecting and always reassessing. Why did it happen? Because of an attack, because of the video. Always deflecting, always reassessing the blame. Never once taking responsibility. What's the point of the Select Committee on Benghazi? What are we actually going to learn? Because they don't want to learn anything. They want to deflect. They don't want to get into it. They want to assess the blame. They want to say partisan witch hunt. They want to say it's just Republicans being Republicans. They don't want to know the truth. The truth is the enemy and evil. Of course the truth is the enemy. Of course the truth is evil. They're the ones who have been lying. The administration lied about what caused the attack in Benghazi. People like Josh Fox lie about what fracking is and does. Nancy Pelosi, instead of accepting the fact that this administration needs to take responsibility for dead veterans, would rather blame George Bush, even though we have doubled the amount of money for the VA to $146 billion. Even though President Obama campaigned on it in 2007 and spoke about the VA in a very, very proactive way in 2009 as president of the United States. That's not who they are. That is not who they are. They are not interested in the truth. They are children. And we elect children to run the country. Children hold up signs that say, bring back our girls. Children hold up signs that say, Russia's being mean to Ukraine. Do you need any more proof that they're children? If you do, I don't know what to do for you, but I'll keep giving it. I will keep delivering it right here, time and again and again and again. The administration is made up of children, and Josh Fox is a vicious liar. This is Tony Katz tonight.
If you need reliable, high-quality video production, look no further than PrimeImageMedia.com. PrimeImageMedia.com provides promotional videos, training videos, and conference and event coverage nationwide. Get a high-quality, consistent look to your corporate videos with the most reliable video company in the country. Visit PrimeImageMedia.com today to learn more. Mention Tony Katz and get 10% off your first production. That's PrimeImageMedia.com. PrimeImageMedia.com.
Tony Katz tonight. Race weekend has begun. It kicks off right here, right now, on Tony Katz tonight. WIBC, WIBC.com, the home of the Indianapolis 500 flag to flag here. And then, of course, the pre-race, the post-race, the after-post-race, the post-after-post-post-race, the next morning hungover. Hey, did who won the race, post-race race? All of it right here at 93.1 FM, WIBC, WIBC.com. Joining us right now, he is the racing guru of WIBC. He is Mike Thompson, Sports Mike. to you and me. All right, young man, this is your moment. These are your people. Let's start with some basics. What is going on right now? What is the track looking like? What is the weather looking like?
Here's the best part, Tony. I came out, I'm literally standing underneath the pagoda for this hit because you asked me to be on tonight, and I came back to the track to stand at the pagoda just for you. So I'm literally at the Mecca for you. I'm not doing this from my home. I came out to the Speedway for you. Is that service or what?
That is for the audience and for all of America, and we thank you. But what are we expecting for Sunday?
Great. The weather's going to be great. It's going to be warmer than last year, which could – last year we had a record number of lead changes. It was the most competitive 500 we've ever seen. We may not see as many lead changes this year because the weather's going to be hotter, and that couldn't – we could see one car go out and lead a little bit more than we saw last year. I still think we're going to see a lot of lead changes, but I think – teams are going to set up for hot weather, which we didn't have to deal with last year. Last year was an unusually cool 500, and you have to set up your car for the conditions, obviously. Some teams really took a whack at the conditions last year and came up empty. One of them was Panther Racing with Jared Hildebrand. He went out early. They went aggressive, and it bit them. Ed Carpenter's team, they were sitting on the pole. They didn't have the setup they wanted either, and they're going a different direction this year also. I can tell you, Ed, when I talked to Ed yesterday, I asked him a little bit of strategy. I said, Ed, you know, what are you guys going to do? And he basically flat out said, it's a secret. I'm not going to tell you. So he's got a different kind of mindset, a different strategy for his plan for his team this year.
Well, let's talk about who's in. Ed Carpenter, of course, he is the pole winner, 231.067. Are we seeing faster than normal speeds, or has there been a drop in speed coming into 2014?
No, we're seeing an increase, and that's part of the plan. It's going to be a gradual increase year to year. The idea is to be eventually breaking the record that's stood since 1996, believe it or not. I mean, it's stood that long. The idea is by the time that the 100th race rolls around in 2 years that they're approaching or breaking that record that stood since 1996. So you'll see probably another increase of those speeds next year. They you know, privately say they'd like to see 233, 234-ish next year, and then going after that record for the 100th anniversary race, or the 100th race, rather, in 2016.
Ed Carpenter taking the pole, by the way. What are the odds that he can take the pole, keep it all the way, and win?
Oh, they're strong. I mean, first of all, the pole position has won more often than any other position in the history of the 500. Second of all, Ed is an excellent oval racer. He's won oval races before. He's very good at it. He's won duels where he's dueled against the best, Dario Franchitti, and won at California in a shootout on a big oval. I mean, Ed's a capable guy and can very well win. And that would be an extremely popular victory if he wins, because obviously he's part of the Holman George family. He's a member. He's Tony George's stepson. So I mean, he's not only that. He's a Butler grad. He's a Butler guy. I mean, you see him at the Pacer games, and he's really part of the community. Plus, he started his own team, and he started his own doing his own thing, and he's kind of the little guy fighting the big teams, and a lot of people have really gotten behind that story. So that would be an extremely popular win, and yeah, absolutely Ed Carpenter can win this thing.
Let me take you in qualifying to number 14, Tony Kanaan. When I listen to what WIBC is talking about, right, and I catch all the news breaks, whether I'm listening to other programs or, of course, during my own show, he seems to be very much the talk of the town. He is 14th in qualifying speed. I don't know where he is on the starting grid. He's number 16 on the starting grid. Is that a decent position for him, or is that a little bit of a letdown to starting off this race?
Well, Tony Kanaan was the fastest today in the final practice on Carburation Day, so that should tell you how good he'll be on race day. Hot conditions today, a little bit today, and, Target Chip Ganassi Racing. I say this every year in the pre-race show. If you count Target Chip Ganassi Racing out, you do so at your own peril, because these guys have won so many races and so many championships because they're one of the two best teams out there. And Tony Kanaan will be a factor on race day, and don't be surprised if he wins back-to-back with two different teams. I mean, he won last year with KV Racing Technology. This year he could absolutely win driving for Target Chip Ganassi Racing. And he's extremely popular. I mean, I thought they were going to tear the place down when he won last year, finally, after all the different chances he had to win. And always seeming to be, it seemed that he was going to be that one of those guys that was just never going to get the brass ring, and people really kind of latched out of that story. And he even admitted last year going into the race, he said, I'm basically resigned to the fact that, hey, you know, my chances have passed. I'm probably not going to get this thing. And then the one year he really sought that is the year he actually won. He gave me an unbelievable interview yesterday. It was the best interview I've ever had with TK about how much it really meant to him to win. And he really explained, he said, his famous quote about the Indianapolis 500 is, he says, the track will choose who's going to win. He said, after the race last year, he said, I was standing up at the pagoda, and he said, I said to the track, thank you for choosing me finally, because it means that much to him to win. We're going to play that interview in the pre-race show on Sunday. It was the best interview I've ever gotten with TK.
Talking with Mike Thompson, Sports Mike, on 93 WIBC. All right. Any injuries that we need to know about? Any car issues that we should be aware of before the race begins?
Well, the big two issues, Sage Karam had a little bit of an issue today in the final practice, but he's going to, that was a minor situation, not going to be a big deal. The big issue was Kurt Busch had a major accident in the final official practice on Monday before today's Carburation Day practice. He had to go to a backup car. So that set that program back a little bit. He's still going to retain his starting spot, but it really did set the program back a little bit. But there's no injury. The injury that we had to deal with was when James Hinchcliffe was injured in the Grand Prix of Indianapolis. He got a concussion in that race, had to sit out some of the early practice.
Right, he got hit in the head, right?
He got hit in the head with a wing end blade off of Justin Wilson's car. I talked to Hinch yesterday. He said, hey, I'm feeling fine. He's starting on the front row, and really that's a testament to that team. Because, look, here's a guy, he misses most of the week. They put E.J. Viso in as a substitute. Hinch gets in the car, and he almost wins the pole. I mean, if that tells you how good that team and that car is. And that's another guy who can win this thing. There's 10 or 12 people who could realistically win on Sunday, but that's another guy who could realistically be in the mix on Sunday.
And James Hinchcliffe in the Honda 27?
Yeah, James Hinchcliffe, he's another extremely popular guy, because if you've never met James Hinchcliffe, I'm sorry, because he's one of the funniest people you'll ever want to meet. Great guy, really outgoing, extremely good with the fans, and he would be an extremely popular winner if he takes the same home on Sunday.
By the way, but does not rank as one of the best names in racing. That would be in the Chevy, the number 12 car, Will Power.
Will Power.
Best
Will
name Power. In all of racing.
Will Power, I'm going to tell you one little nugget about Will Power. You'll never know this for some of his interviews that he gives, but I've known Will for several years, back to my days when I worked at Wish TV in sports, okay? And I will tell you that Will Power is probably the funniest person I know personally. But
how dare you?
No, you probably won't get that from his interviews. And people will laugh if they've ever watched Will Power in an interview. They're probably saying right now, Sports Mike, you're an idiot. But I'm telling you right now, Will Power, if you get Will Power going away from the racetrack and he's just on a roll, the guy is absolutely hysterical. But he's sometimes pretty reserved in his interviews. But, yeah, Will Power is a great name.
You will be there, of course, the race flag to flag, the pregame, the pre-race, the post-race, 93 WIBC, WIBC.com. Right now, though, the prediction, 30 seconds or less, who's taking this thing?
Oh, man, 3 seconds or less. If I have to go with my head.
30 seconds or less. I'll give you 30 seconds or less.
All right, 30 seconds or less. If I have to go with my head, Scott Dixon, because I just think that he's due for another win here at the 500. If I go with my heart, I'm the biggest Jack Villeneuve fanboy in the world, so I'd go with Jack Villeneuve. But if I went with my heart, it'd be James Hinchcliffe. I think he'd be a real story because of coming back from the injury. Or Ed Carpenter because of the hometown boy.
That is Sports Mike. You can follow him, Thompson, Thomsen 500, Thompson 500 on Twitter. I will catch you after the race, my friend. All the best out there at the Pagoda.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it.
Talk to you later. More ahead. This is Tony Katz Tonight. We'll be right back. Jim Irsay, formally charged from his March arrest in Carmel. He's been charged with two misdemeanor counts of operating a vehicle while intoxicated. He was arrested March 17th when he failed several field sobriety tests. Officers also found several prescription drugs in his car, which did not match the bottles in which they were found. I think they also found like $29,000 on him. This, of course, from Alex Brown, WIBC.com. So he is going to be charged for that. We knew that was coming. Those charges were just pending his time in rehab. He is out now, unfortunately, part of the failed bid to bring the Super Bowl to Indianapolis. It's going to Minneapolis instead. But Ashley found this. Ashley, who filled in this week because Paige was on vacation, of course, with us every Friday, and said, this is a story. And I said, what is a story? She said, this is a story. That Indianapolis Metro, the police have come up with a new police partnership to get more officers on the streets in a troubled part of town. This from WTHR. Indiana State Police troopers will pitch in by cracking down on traffic violations, not just on area highways, but also in IMPD's East District. The state headquarters there, the police, state police headquarters on 21st and Post Road, is in East District now. In a neighborly agreement, the state will provide extra patrols on the roads nearby. And this struck you, Ashley, as, I don't know, did you think it was suspect or do you think it's just telling?
I thought it was interesting. I don't pretend to know a whole lot about police work, but I do think it's interesting that IMPD is bringing the state police on board, because I think it could be interpreted as IMPD is losing its handle on the situation going on in the East Side, which is there's a lot of unrest in the East Side that leads to crime and disputes and things like that. And it's the notorious part of town to a lot of people. And so to me, it makes me wonder if that's what's going on behind the scenes. I don't want to assume, like I said, I'm not a police officer, but it's an interesting.
Well, no. It's not being a police officer is just fine. It is, however, I don't know if it happens more often than we think. And in that part, I think you're right. You're not a police officer. You're not in law enforcement. Maybe you don't know. I know, not being from Indianapolis, that the thing I've been told more than anything in terms of this area, that area, the other area, the East Side is a dangerous place. I have heard that repeatedly. But when I cover stuff, when things happen, when I'm in the chair and news is breaking, I have seen things happen in the Northeast. I've seen things happen in the South. I've seen things happen on the West Side. I've seen things happen downtown. They're happening in a lot of places. Now, that could just be some much more high-profile kind of crimes, especially some shootings that have been happening far, far too often in Indianapolis. But is it a conversation that there aren't enough IMPD officers, that there's a lack of officers? Or is it just the idea that as long as you've got these guys around, might as well have them travel seven surface streets before they get to a highway? Like, that's my question. Is it about a need, or is it about a, hey, you're already there, how about instead of turning left, you turn right, you turn left, you go down this street, you do a little loop, you come back, and then you go on your patrol? That's my question.
Right, and I think that it will be helpful, regardless what that motivation is, just for the citizens of that area to see more officers out. I know that part of the partnership will be doing traffic violations and that kind of thing. So that will help. And I think having an increased police presence there may serve as a deterrent. And it may be, hey, you're just like you said, turn left instead of turning right, because the area that they're going to be patrolling is right around the state headquarters. So regardless of the reason, I think it may serve as a deterrent and may help out. Whether IMPD is short on these officers, I don't know.
And that would be one of my questions. I'd like to get that answered. I want to know if it's about a shortage. Is it a shortage of actual manpower? Is it a shortage of cars? Quite literally not being able to get people out into the streets, or is it neither? And just just travel a couple extra streets. I don't have the answer. I want the answer desperately.
I have the answer.
And where did you get such answer? Let us vet your source.
Well, according to WFYI, which I'm committing a sin here by sourcing WFYI, they are our public radio rival.
They're not. Stop it. Stop it.
According to the commission, a commission tasked with deciding how many police are needed and how many the city can afford, according to this commission, as of February, IMPD is understaffed somewhere between 200 and 700 officers.
Oh, I reject that wholeheartedly.
The department
700. First of all, you know what the spread between 200 and 700 officers is?
Yeah.
Wait, how many? That's insane.
The department is requesting at least 80 to 100 new officers a year. It loses about 45 every 12 months. I will send you this link and the link to the report. So you
can distribute those. A battalion is a military unit with 300 to 1200 soldiers. So basically, they're telling me some portion of a battalion is what we're... No. I'm saying no. Really? Are we missing 700 cops in Indianapolis based on what? A desire? Or based on what we're budgeted? Or based on what a city of this size equates to based on national standards of safety, etc.? And oh, by the way, the follow-up question is, why are we low that low? If indeed that's true, which I have a hard time believing, where is the budget? Why don't we have the budget for that? Where does that budget go? These questions, Ashley, will get answered, but they'll be answered on Monday. Happy Memorial Day. Kiss a veteran. Enjoy the race here at WIBC, WIBC.com. Monday, everyone. Much love. Take care.